This module has been prepared by the Michigan State University Center for International Business Education and Research. The following content was taken from the book, A Basic Guide to Exporting, a product of the U.S. Commercial Service. This module was created in cooperation with the U.S. Commercial Service and the Michigan State University Center for International Business Education and Research. To view the full text version of each slide, click the Slide Notes tab in the upper left-hand corner, below the MSU Cyber logo. You may pause the presentation at any time by pressing the pause button below the slide. The glossary for this module is accessible via the glossary tab at the top right corner. This module was last modified on August 25th, 2017. In this module, we will cover brand labeling and packaging, engineering and redesign, product adaptation, and a success story, Avazia. Section 1, Brand Labeling and Packaging. Consumers are concerned with both the product itself and the product's secondary features, such as packaging, warranties, and service. Branding and labeling products in a foreign market raise new considerations for your company, such as the following. Are international brand names important to promote and distinguish a product? Conversely, should local brands or private labels be used to heighten local interest? Are there colors used on the labels and packages offensive or attractive to the foreign buyer? For example, in some countries, certain colors are associated with death. Can labels and instructions be produced in official or customary languages if required by law or practice? Does information on product content and country of origin have to be provided? Are weights and measurements stated in the local unit? Even with consumer products, packaging and describing contents and metric measurements can be important. Must each item be individually labeled? What is the language of the labeling? For example, made in USA may not be acceptable. The product may need to be labeled in the language spoken by the country's consumers. There may be special labeling requirements for food, pharmaceuticals, and other products. Are local tastes and knowledge considered? A cereal box with a picture of a U.S. athlete on it may not be as attractive to overseas consumers as the picture of a local sports hero. Section 2. Engineering and Redesign. In addition to adaptations related to cultural and consumer preference, your company should be aware that even fundamental aspects of products may require changing. For example, electrical standards in many foreign countries differ from U.S. electrical standards. It's not unusual to find phases, cycles, or voltages for both residential and commercial use that would damage or impair the operating efficiency of equipment designed for use in the United States. Electrical standards sometimes vary, even within the same country. Knowing the requirements, the manufacturer can determine whether a special motor must be substituted or if a different drive ratio can be achieved to meet the desired operated revolutions per minute. Similarly, many kinds of equipment must be engineered in the metric system for integration with other pieces of equipment, or for compliance with the standards of a given country. The United States is virtually alone in its adherence to a non-metric system, and U.S. companies that compete successfully in the global market realize that conversion to metric measurement is an important detail in selling to overseas customers. Even instruction or maintenance manuals should provide dimensions in centimeters, weights in grams or kilos, and temperatures in degrees Celsius. Information on foreign standards and certification systems is available from the National Institute of Standards and Technology. You can visit the link on the slide for more information. Another element of product preparation that your company should consider is the ease of installing the product overseas. If technicians or engineers are needed overseas to assist in installation, your company should minimize their time in the field if possible. To do so, your company may wish to pre-assemble or pre-test the product before shipping, or to provide training for local service providers through web, training seminars, or DVDs. Your company may consider disassembling the product for shipment and reassembling it abroad. This method can save your firm shipping costs, but it may delay payment if the sale is contingent on an assembled product. Your company should be careful to provide all product information, such as training manuals, installation instructions, even relatively simple instructions, and parts lists in the local language. Section 3, Product Adaptation. Selecting and preparing your product for export requires not only product knowledge, but also knowledge of the unique characteristics of each target market. Market research and contacts with foreign partners, buyers, customers, and others should give your company an idea of what products can be sold and where. However, before the sale can occur, your company may need to modify a particular product to satisfy buyer tastes, needs in foreign markets, or legal requirements for the foreign destination. The extent to which your company will be willing to modify products sold for export markets is a key policy issue to be addressed by management. Some exporters believe that their domestic products can be exported without significant changes. Others seek to consciously develop uniform products that are acceptable in all markets. It is very important to do research and to be sure of the right strategy to pursue. For example, you may need to redesign an electrical product to run on a different level of voltage for a particular destination. Or you may need to redesign product packaging to meet labeling standards or cultural preferences. If your company manufactures more than one product or offers many models of a single product, you should start by exporting the one best suited to the target market. Ideally, your company may choose one or two products that fit the target market without major design or engineering modifications. Doing so works best when your company deals with international customers that have the same demographic characteristics or the same specifications for manufactured goods, supplies parts for U.S. goods that are exported to other countries without modifications, produces a unique product that is sold on the basis of its status or international appeal, produces a product that has few or no distinguishing features, and that is sold almost exclusively on a commodity or price basis. You must consider several issues when thinking of selling overseas, including the following. What foreign needs does your product satisfy? What product should your company offer abroad? Should your company modify its domestic market product for sale abroad? Should it develop a new product for the foreign market? What specific features, such as design, color, size, packaging, brand, labels, and warranty, should your product have? How important are language or cultural differences? What specific services are necessary abroad at the pre-sale and post-sale stages, warranties, or spare parts? Are your firm's services and repair facilities adequate? To enter a foreign market, your company may have to modify its product to conform to government regulations, geographic and climatic conditions, buyer preferences, or standards of living. Your company may also need to modify its product to facilitate shipment or to compensate for possible differences in engineering and design standards. Foreign government product regulations are common in international trade and are expected to expand in the future. These regulations can take the form of high tariffs or they can be non-tariff barriers such as industrial regulations or product specifications. Governments impose these regulations to protect domestic industries from foreign competition, to protect the health and safety of their citizens, to force importers to comply with environmental regulations, to ensure that importers meet local requirements for electrical or measurement systems, to restrict the flow of goods originating in or having components from certain countries, and to protect their citizens from cultural influences deemed inappropriate. Detailed information on regulations imposed by foreign countries is available by calling 800-USA-TRADE or from your local U.S. Commercial Service office. When a foreign government imposes particularly onerous or discriminatory barriers, your company may be able to obtain help from the U.S. government to press for their removal. For more information, call 202-395-3230 or visit ustr.gov. You can also contact the Office of Trade Agreements, Negotiations, and Compliance. TNAC systematically monitors, investigates, and evaluates foreign government compliance with our international trade agreements to assure that U.S. companies and workers receive the full benefit of these agreements. This free program is available to assist all U.S. exporters or investors facing trade barriers, but is particularly valuable to small and medium-sized companies, which often lack the resource or expertise to deal with these problems. It is the U.S. government's one-stop shop for helping reduce or eliminate those barriers. The TNAC website includes a fully searchable database and contains the text of approximately 250 international trade agreements. To assist, TNAC provides examples of the most common foreign government-imposed trade barriers at the link available on the slide. This service enables U.S. exporters to file complaints about foreign government-imposed trade barriers or unfair trade situations in foreign markets. Buyer preferences in a foreign market may also lead you to modify your product. Local customs, such as religious practices or the use of leisure time, often determine whether a product is marketable. The sensory impression made by a product, such as taste or visual effect, may also be a critical factor. For example, Japanese consumers tend to prefer certain kinds of packaging, leading many U.S. consumers to redesign cartons and packages that are destined for the Japanese market. Market potential must also be large enough to justify the direct and indirect costs involved in product adaptation. Your firm should assess the cost to be incurred and, though it may be difficult, should determine the increased revenues expected from adaptation. The decision to adapt a product is based partly on the degree of commitment to a foreign market. A firm with short-term goals will probably have a different perspective than a firm with long-term goals. Your company should consider carefully the terms of a warranty on the product and be very specific as to the warranty's coverage, because the buyer will expect a specific level of performance and a guarantee that it will be achieved. Levels of expectation and rights for a warranty vary by country depending on the country's level of development, its competitive practices, the activism of consumer groups, the local standards of production quality, and other factors. Product service guarantees are important because customers overseas typically have service expectations as higher or greater than those of U.S. consumers. Success story, Avazia. Tim Smith helped put a man on the moon. Given that career highlight, what would be an appropriate sequel for a veteran manager who spent his career at Texas Instruments developing computer chips for the Apollo space program and major military systems? My dad taught me all the basics of electronics, so at the age of 12, I was hardwiring circuits in our home, Smith says. Then in high school, I had a great electronics teacher, which motivated me even further and put me on my career path. After spending 21 years at Texas Instruments in chip design, manufacturing, and research and development, Smith was ready for a change. And after learning that a close friend had diabetic neuropathy, Smith learned he could help. Soon after leaving Texas Instruments, he learned about the Russian space program's use of electronic devices to manage chronic and acute pain. Working out of my garage, I familiarized myself with the process of applying electrical signals to humans to turn on the body's neuropeptides, the body's defense systems that promote the healing process and alleviate pain, Smith says. In doing so, I decided to start my own company, Avazia, which means beauty and freedom of health. For Smith, it wasn't about just making a profit. It was a quality of life issue. One third of Americans suffer from chronic pain, so there's always a need, he says. Also, more Americans die from prescription painkillers than from street drugs. That's a real opportunity for making a difference in the life of millions of people. Smith eventually hired staff and developed 11 varieties of therapy devices and 50 accessories. Marketing to hospitals, doctors' offices, and rehabilitation centers, Avazia also provides training to medical staff. In the United States, the devices are only available through prescription, whereas overseas, a prescription is now required. To date, his product has proven to be very effective. Smith reports that two-thirds of customers responding to a survey reported reduced use of pain medications and had improved sleep. Many no longer needed to take oxytocin. Smith first looked toward international markets in 2008 by selling to Taiwan. He's also had good success in Canada and Malaysia and has made sales in Korea, Singapore, and England. To overcome import requirements, he began working with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and International Standards Organization to obtain product quality and safety certifications. He also gained the CB internationally accepted approval for safety. With these approvals, his products are usually accepted in most countries, thus removing a major barrier to trade. About a year ago, Smith started eyeing India as a potential destination due to its large English-speaking population and a growing middle class. But when he previously tried to start doing business in new markets, it took several months and costly trial and error to locate distributors. How could he quickly find a good distributor? At a local Chamber of Commerce event in 2012, Smith was introduced to trade specialist Richard Ryan of the U.S. Commercial Service in North Texas. Smith later took advantage of business counseling and learned more about entry strategies. Smith says, "I knew that India's population generally tries to avoid drugs. But the additional market research really reaffirmed that the Indian medical community was very receptive to non-drug therapies." Working with U.S. Commercial Service colleagues in New Delhi, India, Ryan helped Smith seek out potential Indian distributors. Avazia's needs were matched with several prospective Indian distributors. Then Smith flew to India. "I interviewed several distributors and really clicked with one in particular. We both had similar technology backgrounds," Smith says. "Having U.S. government backing also gave me added credibility with him, so it worked out well. And I ended up signing him as a distributor." The distributor purchased an initial stock of Avazia products and showcased them at a trade show. 30 Indian medical doctors came to Avazia's booth, generating additional sales that continue to this day. Now, Avazia is working on selling to a major sports injury rehabilitation clinic that treats 500 patients per week. Smith originally assumed that international customers would be looking to pay the lowest price, regardless of quality. But what I found is that if you have a quality product, people will lay out the cash to buy it, he says. So, what does the future hold for Avazia? Smith's company has grown to 15 employees. Exports account for 20% of our overall sales, a figure that could grow to 50% within the next 2 years, he says. His next big focus is Mexico, with plans to expand into Latin America, where the United States has several free trade agreements. Oh, and what about Smith's friend who suffered from diabetic neuropathy? He continues to use Avazia technology, which has dramatically reduced his need for pain-killing medications. If you have no previous international trade or export experience, do your homework first and take advantage of the U.S. Commercial Service. If I had known 10 years ago what I know today, I would have started selling in Europe early on. Leverage your business experience. You may have a greater skill set than you realize. For example, if you've sold here in the United States, that's a great asset to becoming a successful exporter. This slide contains 3 questions, designed to be discussed in a group setting. This slide contains 2 questions designed to be discussed in a group setting. A special thanks to the U.S. Commercial Service for the content of this module. This slide will take you to current news headlines on this topic. The links will open in a new browser window. You may have to enable pop-ups in your browser. You can advance through the remainder of the slides by clicking the play button. Global Edge offers a number of resources on this topic. The links will open in a new browser window. You may have to enable pop-ups in your browser. This slide concludes this module.